Here we go.
Well, hello, Jan. How are you doing?
I am all right, darling. Hey, in this fascist dictatorship, are we?
Right?
it's getting bad, you know.
Speaking of fascism, we need to teach in school what fascism really is.
You should read Mussolini on fascism, and that's quite interesting stuff.
Right? I read him, huh?
Yeah.
Well, that's interesting.
Oh, yeah.
Never thought of that. Nope. Reading the guy.
Exactly.
Why don't we just read what other people say about him? Why do we want to go straight to the source?
He gave out a book in the 20s, I think.
Oh, yeah, I need to read
Italy
that.
Italy became fascist like 10 years before Germany did, actually.
But, so they called themselves fascist? How's
yeah,
that work?
Sure.
Yeah, we're fascist. The So they say, oh, it's good that businesses are in control?
Well, then let's Google it.
I always wondered about that. Who says, yeah, we're fascist? It's like, yeah, we're a racist country and we're proud of it.
No, fascism is not racist.
Oh, I know, but I've always learned it as a derogatory term. You know, like communist.
Yeah, it's quite misunderstood, really. The merger of corporations and big government, that's fascism. That's just it.
I'll read that one more time.
Fascism should more appropriately be called corporatism because it is a merger of state and corporate power.
Right. Yeah. Okay. So
which you have in the United States, but
well, exactly, right? Are not we fascist?
Yeah, you have been that since Abraham Lincoln, really, 1871 or something.
We are fascist by our own actions. It's evident in our actions. We don't need to call ourselves that. So did Mussolini call himself? Yeah, we're a fascist government. That's our
form
of government.
Yeah.
He just openly admitted it?
Oh, yeah.
Well, then why don't we admit it then?
Because fascism is not so popular after the Second World War, right?
Right.
But you have fascist, symbols all over the place in the United States on public buildings, so it's not a big secret, really.
Oh, you mean the symbols, like the bundle of sticks?
Exactly. Abraham Lincoln is sitting on the throne with two of them on the throne
in Washington, D.C. Oh, you know, that's what that means.
Yeah.
Oh, I never put that together. I read all the stuff on fasci Ab ever wrote and a bunch of other stuff. I looked into it myself. I know it's connected.
Yeah, I think the Supreme Court
fascism.
Has it on their building. And this is all over the place in the States. You have been fascist since 1871, no doubt about it. The first fascist country was actually France after the French Revolution.
Well, and then what did they say are the benefits then of being fascist?
Benefits for the oligarchy on top, not for the population. Ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. That's a very fascist statement. That's Kennedy.
Right. Ah, right. you do stuff for us. You
exactly.
Sit down and shut up. So how did Italy then, how did Mussolini sell it to the common people?
Well, I would imagine they had the Prussian school system incorporated at that time.
Really?
You had the black shorts in Italy.
Right. So what about when France became fascist? Did they say, hey, we're going to, I'm on from the fascism party. If you vote for me, I'll make sure you get no rights and I get all the rights.
Oh, well, the state is God and there's no religion anymore.
Yeah. So how do you sell fascism to the people then? That's kind of confusing me.
Well, it's like, what would you call it? Worship of personality worship. Do you worship the leader of the country? Like Mussolini was like Stalin or Hitler or
so he's very
Franco.
Charismatic. They give him a lot of
power.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah,
a lot of prestige.
Well, he's an actor that is very good at rhetoric, so it's not so difficult. You have huge bureaucracies in that type of system, so that is what runs the country and the corporations. The leader is just a figurehead, so.
So if people get their bureaucratic jobs, they're okay just to keep their little bit of support and security while other people get richer?
Yeah, the Prussian school system is all about mass-producing people that are willing to do monotone jobs, which is totally boring, and they get a kick out of it. In an office, doing bullshit, and seeing people as numbers, and as beings with a soul. If you catch my drift.
Yeah. Okay. So that's really deep.
I'm so a what deep I wanna... guy.
Right. All right. So I just want to say, since Ab said, why don't you do something on Thursdays, Kay? So I'm like, okay. So this is Kay Ham Radio at fakeologist.com. And I'm Kay. And you're listening, right?
Taking it live.
Taking it live. And yes, you're listening to this show because Ab at fakeologist.com said, hey, do a show. So if you want to join me, that would be great. I'm on TeamSpeak, using TeamSpeak. So you can find all the stuff you need for it if you go to audiochat.fakeologist.com. And then there's links if you don't want to use TeamSpeak to where you can listen to that. So the Fakeologist website for the new listeners is mostly about fakery, but we also talk about a lot of other stuff. The success of fakeologist.com is proof that Ab has the ability to bring people together. So it's just
hallelujah.
Fun. Yeah, right? It's just awesome to see. So far, it's been pretty exciting. We've had some twists and turns, not only with PsyOps, but with people. Would you believe? And that kind of makes things exciting. When I first started this journey, I thought it was about truth, it was facts and data, and that's it.
Yes.
But turns out, but people are important too, you know, Jan? Because it's the collaboration, I think, how we spread the information, how we work together on the information. So people are the key.
Here we have it.
Well, you know, that's why I think shills are so needed by the opposite side, because people are the key, and they know that, and they have to break us up and stop.
Yeah, sure. Divide and conquer.
Yeah, divide and conquer and keep us away from each other. Because that, wow, I mean, when I started talking with other people, the amount of knowledge I gained and experience and wisdom and insight was like, you know, it was exponential, the growth was. So,
exactly. Quite interesting when you get into it, actually.
Right?
Amusing and fulfilling, I think.
Yeah. And I, you know, I mean, you can think two ways about a shill, right? Mm. If you think a shill is at your site, that's actually a bad thing. You know, are you getting upset about it? That means you must be on the right track.
It's flattery, is that the word?
Right?
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
If you really think...
If you attract chills, then you're on the right course.
Right? If nobody ever comes to bother you, then you must be way off target. Rethink what you're doing then. But if
an idea is more powerful than weaponry.
Oh, it's so much more powerful.
Yes, leaning a thing into the fascist education is moral, physical, social, and military. It aims to create a complete and harmoniously developed human. A fascist one according to our views. Benito Mussolini.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
That's nice.
Well, it's serves the agenda, doesn't it? Not
right.
What the country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. Or it's not what the slave master can do for you, but what you can do for your slave masters.
Right, and that's
it's
how
it's also
sell
fucking
it.
Logical. It's not.
Yeah.
It doesn't take a genius to figure it out, I think.
No. The fact that our government won't admit they're fascist, and you know, that should alarm anybody.
Yes.
It should alarm everybody that they, by definition, are exactly practicing fascists. But then,
no doubt about it.
Right? Oh my gosh, our government is shilling. No, the entire government is shilling.
Ooh.
But this
the whole
is
system
how they
is based
it.
On deception and lies, is it not?
Yeah. To create a complete and harmonious developed human.
That's
oh,
a
is
great
that
quote,
what we are?
Oh, yeah,
harmonious is scary. I think that word harmonious, don't you think? It's like a threat. You better be harmonious or we're going to come and beat the shit out of you.
We're going to be an obedient slave or we're going to kick you into work camps.
Right? Yeah. Did you ever believe that? You know, the stories here in the U.S. where they were saying, we're going to have FEMA camps and everybody's going to jail and you better be careful. They already have several concentration camps ready with train tracks. Did you ever hear that?
Might be true, but I am tipping to the side of it being scaremongering.
Right?
As because, I did say earlier in the previous show, that
yeah.
we live in an open-air FEMA camp, so they don't need to put people in prison because the prison of the mind, and people are totally lost, unfortunately.
Right. And you know what I noticed? Those kind of psyops appeal to a very specific personality type.
Yes.
Because, like, my sister...
Simple-minded people who don't think for themselves.
But you know what? It's even deeper, though. Like, my sister was way into the concentration camps while I was doing UFOs, so we weren't really hitting it together, you know, because UFOs are going to bring eternal happiness and peace to all mankind.
No, that's distraction and totally based on fiction, though.
I think both sides are distractions. Either they're going to be our savior, which is, you know, this, you know, we need to be saved then, or they're going to kill every last one of us and munch us up for dinner.
Well, they need a few slaves to serve them. It's not going to kill everybody.
No, not everybody.
That's illogical.
But my point is, my sister was really into getting put away in the FEMA camps. She really thought they were going to come for her.
Well, you have FEMA camps. You have prisoners working as slave laborers in prisons, producing all sorts of stuff in the States. I don't know for how long that has been going on, but I would guess the last 20, 30 years or maybe more, I'm not sure.
Wow, so that's in the United Kingdom?
In the U.S.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I think they get 50 cents an hour for working 8-hour days. You did not know this? They produce a lot of stuff.
Well, like in the States, like the South, I think they have work camps. But the North, we pretend we're more liberal. Like, you can't make them work. It's wrong.
The North used to have factory towns which enslaved people and put them into indentured servitude.
It was pretty bad.
Long time.
Nowadays.
It was not only slavery in the South. The plantations. In the North, it was the factories.
Yeah, they can be.
Try to Google the factory towns in the U.S. and you can.
Wow.
Most of them are in the North.
Well, I know they had, like, factory towns where you had mines and there was mining, things like that. But for just regular jobs?
Oh, no. Indentured servitude.
But what year are we talking about?
From, like, early 1800s.
Oh, wait, Yeah, 1800s.
Yeah, Company Town is called.
Did it coincide with the Industrial Revolution?
Yes.
Oh, something inside me said they're related.
United States, here. There. Oh, many of them. You can have a look at the list. That was slavery. Born really in this world. It is. Maybe you live in one. I'm not sure.
You mean where slave people work?
Yeah, indentured servitude, if you don't know what it is.
Yeah, they still have that today?
Yeah, sure.
I mean, maybe for immigrant workers, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
I hear like Mexicans come over and they have to work it off. But other than that, unless it's like an American meat packing plant hiring Mexicans, I heard of that.
Indentured servant. A person who came to America and was placed under track to work for another over a period of time, usually 7 years, especially during the 17th and 19th. To the 19th century, generally, indentured servants included redemptioners, victims of religious or political persecution, persons kidnapped for the purpose, convicts, and paupers. They have it.
Ooh. That is sad.
Why don't you teach this in school? It's kind of secret, is it not? the whole thing about the founding fathers.
I would get in trouble, I think, if it's not my legislated area. I would get in trouble if I taught that. Well, it depends. If a parent complained, I'd get in trouble. If a parent didn't complain, I just keep doing it.
How dare you tell our children that they were indentured servants in this country? That's
yeah. There's a children's story I'd read.
You're
to
living in the land of the free, or are we not?
No. There's, but you know the. Subtle brainwashing happens everywhere.
It's doublethink on a level which is beyond belief, really, I think.
Right? Like, I bought my daughter's books, and it's like Emily of the East or something like that. And this little girl, she comes over on a boat, and so it's a story. It's a pretty good story, and she and her family, they catch fish and send it, salt it up, and then put it on a boat in barrels, and it goes back to England to pay for their trip to the New World.
Exactly. A lot of Norwegians have went over as well.
Right.
And but they had to pay for their journey by being indentured to serfs.
Right. It said they had to do it for 10 years, the entire family.
No, seven years was the norm.
Seven? Well, the book said 10.
Yeah, but that's wrong. It's seven. Yeah. So it's always been seven.
Seven. But she talked about how wonderful her life was in the fresh open air, coming from stinky Europe. Europe's stinky.
Like fiction to me.
Oh, right? Telling the kids? Well, now you get to come to beautiful, fresh, new world Americas. And she talked about how fun it was catching the fish and packing it and salt in the barrels. And I was like, oh, I wish I could be an indentured servant. It sounds fun.
Oh, yeah. Slavery is natural and it's good for you.
Right? They even use the word indentured servant, but that's okay. We'll work it off anyway. And in the meantime, my daddy can save money and I can buy pretty dresses and put bows in my hair and have adventures. So
those people could not buy any dresses.
Right? But she said how wonderful
they made the clothes themselves, I think. Well, there was this guy in England that went to a shoe factory and observed, and he's a rich folk, and he observed that people working in the shoe factory did not wear shoes themselves. That's quite interesting.
Oh, wow. Is that like in China or India?
No, in England.
England? Oh, was that like back in the 1800s or recently?
1800s, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's pretty sad. We had a thing here called matchstick girls. You must be familiar with that, where they put the sulfur in their mouth and then use their lips and tongue to dab it on to the little pieces of wood stick. They made matchsticks. So all the heads of the matchsticks were hand-done by someone putting a little bit of sulfur paste onto the stick and then letting it dry. Are you familiar with that story?
Yeah. I think it's a novel written by somebody's girl with a matchstick something.
Because the sulfur is supposed to eat out their cheeks eventually. Like their teeth fall out and they get big holes in their cheeks so they can't ever blow up a balloon unless people are there helping them. But people needed money, so they did those jobs. So
I have to leave you for a
moment.
2 minutes.
Okay. Well, that's not a very good job to have. I would be like, workers' comp? I don't think there's any work. But I wanted to know, is that really a truth? Did it happen to like a lot of people? Let's look that up real quick. Sounds like it's true. Saw before, black and white. Wouldn't that be funny if there's a color? Yes, there's a lot. While we wait for Jan to get back, Ab made a post about Lenin honor, and I just wanted to read that. I thought it was a really done post, especially in these days where everybody's like stressed out. The reading Lenin honor or watching his latest video, was it 9/11 fear-based mind control campaign? I'll get the exact name in just. My daughter read that and she was like, "Mom, it makes perfect sense. Oh my gosh, you're right, you're right." And she felt so much better after reading it, watching. So the name of the post is "Getting Ready for September 11th at Fakeologist.com. Are the terror injections ramping up?" And it's Lenin Honor. Name of the video is "The Truth About September 11th. Lenin Honor, as he goes through his video, it's about 23 minutes long, talks about what the media is up to. I highly recommend it. Again, the name of the video is "The Truth About September 11th, Part 1. Goes into the 9/11 fear-based mind control program. And the part my daughter liked most out of this whole video, that Lenin Honor says, every year around September 11th, media has a lot more stories about fear. They have a lot more stories about terror, about terrorists, about suicide bombers, about sickness, about viruses, just all comes together because 9/11 had all those things. They had the anthrax, they had the terror and terrorists and bombings.
Terror.
I know, how funny was that? So Lenin Honor is just letting people know, this is just a pattern. Just look at the pattern.
It's all about pattern recognition, really.
So with the with all the incidences in the news, John, coming closer to September 11th,
oh, yeah.
So I was talking about Lenin Honor. He does a really good job of exposing the media.
Yeah, I think
and so. Showing their pattern. And he said, I couldn't believe it, his new video, he said he has seen the exact same pattern in the media for 13 years. For 13 years, the media peaks around May and then peaks again around September. They have more stories. By peaking, I mean a lot more stories about remembering 911 or terrorists or explosions or, you know, just ramping the people up, getting the people
it's about the emotional triggering of the trauma, which is in the subconscious of the herd, as it is.
Exactly.
Psychological warfare, magnific.
So there's like, be aware of it, you know, understand
switch off
that
the
it's
TV.
There, and don't take it seriously. Yeah.
It's only fiction.
It's tough, though. People don't want to switch off their TV. They don't want to stop.
They love their trauma. It's like a woman being in an abusive relationship. She gets used to it and can't live without it after a while, unfortunately.
Yeah.
That's the analogy of it.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. But, that state of affairs,
you know,
though.
But once in a while, that woman breaks out of that relationship.
Yeah.
And she's like, no more, and she walks away. So, you know, what I'm hoping is people will see that 9/11 is just a fear-based mind control program. Because once people are afraid, this is what Lenin Honor says, once they're afraid, they look for someone to take care of them.
Exactly. They go to mommy and daddy, which is the government.
Yeah,
and
which is the government. Yeah. And we put all our faith in the government. We expect them to be our daddy figure. And then basically by that point, you're hooked. So, but he says, if you know that it's just a campaign of tension and of fear, you know
strategy
that.
Strategy of tension, it's called.
Strategy of tension. Yeah, this is old as time, man. Look, what did they do in Europe? What government was it? In Italy, it started the strategy of tension and like a real.
It was called the, it's in all of NATO, it was called, they had a lot of terror in Italy and around Europe to living data, so the people, and then they accused the communists of doing all that stuff.
Oh, so it was like double dealings and double tactics and.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I mean, it's as old as time, people.
Oh, yeah.
We're not, right, we're not inventing anything here in the U.S.
Herd management is a science, and it's as old as anything.
Exactly,
really. Oh,
exactly.
Yeah.
So Lenin Honor is just saying, know it. And you don't have to be afraid anymore. Understand that this is meant to make you afraid. And it's meant to make you nervous and upset and give you a shit in your life.
Go to the rule of... I'll keep talking. I can't remember.
Well, Lenin Honor, for the first time in his video, he appeared irritated at the media. I was like, you go, Lenin. You go, man. You get irritated at that media.
Yeah,
he was
we should.
No. Yeah. He was like, what? No. No. It's just...
Enough already.
It's just the campaign. I mean, he sees his friends stressed out and worried and... You know, he sees them making decisions they wouldn't otherwise make. And he's like, so he wants to help them. He's very frustrated.
Well, if you love the people around you, of course, you their empathy, you would not enjoy their suffering and anxiety, of course.
Right.
Human quality, I think, which is innate in everybody.
Right. I mean, you know, if we just think about it, what is in my town right now? I'm sitting in my bedroom with my laptop, my headset on. I hear cars honking in the distance and maybe the wind and maybe an occasional dog or a kid yell. I mean, that's really our life. That's real life. So these sirens.
I'm going to go really philosophical and say that the core of the human being is love. It's not hate or anything else. But they have domesticated us so much that it's almost eradicated, unfortunately.
I think you're right. I mean, mm-hmm. and I think that core is powerful. And in order to control the herd, they have to disrupt it.
Oh, yes.
So for them, just business as usual, just doing their thing like they always done. They always been doing it. So it's like when people say, oh, the time is special. I'm like, no. Well, is it? Is it? Really? What's
the only thing special about this time is it's the technology they have to they implemented to control the herd even more perfectly by tweaking the slavery system, I think.
Right? I think you're right. The tweaking, they have to tweak more. But on the other hand, more people are getting the message, I think. I mean, I agree there. Right? Maybe. Because we're hooking up. But, I mean, they're not going to let go. You're like, there's going to be love and peace in the future. Well, damn it, I hope so. I'm rooting for it. And I'm going to make that happen regardless of the laws that are made that I didn't vote on. You know, regardless of who died in some place I don't know the person or, you know, how they died. Doesn't matter how I'm sitting here.
This is interesting. Adhesion contract. This is what the indentured serfs were under. An adhesion contract is a contract balanced in favor of one party over the other that one can assume it was not entered into on equal bargaining grounds. Adhesion contracts are usually formed when one person is in a superior bargaining position and pressure the other party into a contract with unfair or oppressive terms. For example, a rich landlord dealing with a poor tenant who was to accept a lease take or leave it basis, no matter how restrictive or burdensome, since the tenant cannot afford to move, a consumer making a minor purchase is usually in no position to negotiate terms with a big multinational manufacturer, and adhesion contracts can give the person in the unfair bargaining position an excuse for invalidating the contract.
And that is it's a current day law.
If you work for some corporation, you are under an adhesion contract because you must work to survive, and the corporation doesn't need you as a person to be employed there. They can take another serf to do the job, so then you are under an adhesion contract.
But, let's see, for example, a rich landlord dealing with a poor
tenant. I can put it into the chat there. Based. Go.
Yeah, I'm still kind of confused by adhesion contract. You mean it's not a signable contract? It's like common law?
It's a contract you have to go into because you are poor and you have no choice about the matter. You must work for the landlord or the lord of the manor or whatever, because put food on the table and have a place to sleep at night. You cannot choose not to.
And then right,
he
I
has,
see.
The,
that
has
makes
all
sense.
The bargaining chips on his side.
Right, that makes sense. But the example here doesn't make sense. For adhesion contract. Landlord with a poor tenant has to accept the lease or take it. But so it sounds like then an adhesion contract is a social term, not a legal term?
It is a legal contract. You have to sign as a serf to get employment.
So in that case,
of the manor.
Right? That would be legal, but the tenant thing would not be, that would be a social contract.
We are all tenants because we don't own property anymore.
I'm just going to, you know, just trying to see, it's like, if I go to my lawyer, it's like, hey, I want an adhesion contract for my kids.
You have one.
You're employed
in the school.
Before I give them any money.
Well, you have one with the school.
So what you're saying is, anytime you accept a position, it's automatically an adhesion contract?
If your economic and social status forces you into a contract with an employer, you are an adhesion contract.
Oh, there you go. So
you have
if we
to
take
go there
to the
survive,
definition.
Right.
Right. So
yeah.
If I have to have that job, well, that's most of us then.
Wait, exactly.
So if I...
There's nothing new under the sun, in other words.
There you bingo. Ding, ding, ding. She got it. What did she get?
So, this is kind of deep thinking, but it's very logical. It's not so.
Yeah. You have to work. If you have to work to survive.
Yes.
Then it's an adhesion contract.
Yes.
And you can't
cannot choose a way to work because then you starve to death.
Right. So you can't choose anything about your job.
Nope.
Not
you need
even
to work to survive.
The apron you wear. If they're like, it's red, it's got to be red.
Well, you're living in the land of the free, so don't worry about it.
I'm going to put said at.
We should put some of these links into the chat, maybe.
Yeah. You want to put your links into the chat, too? I did your other ones. It's kind of like, I'm the link lady. If you want a link in the chat, call me.
All righty, then.
So, yeah, I've just been dropping these in for everybody.
Yeah, I think it's a good thing to do. If people listening in on the stream want to
go along with what we're talking about, I guess.
Yeah, then they can paste.
Yeah, are you going to put them in the last two, or should I put them in? Oh, let me just see if I can. I'll put in the last two.
Okay, you put that in already, but I could take the...
And then after this, you just want to put your own in.
Manorialism, yeah.
You want to keep these.
This is a system you had in the States because you didn't ever have any aristocracy, but you had a later tweaked version of it.
I felt like the 70s were the Wild West of before
the science. I think the whole thing about the Wild West is a total fiction thing.
Oh, it is. It's a fiction.
It never was, I think. Good story, though, but never let the facts get in the way of a good story. Worry about it. List of company towns.
So Lennon Honor, I'm going to go back to him for a minute.
Yes,
he's kind of my hero, you know. Mm-hmm. And I just love that he's a real person, and you can look into his house and his wife and his kids, and you know he does other videos.
Doesn't it look like a green screen or Alex Jones or any of the other bastards?
Right. Oh, you can just feel his sincerity coming through the screen. I'm like, it's palpable, man. I can touch it. And his kids, oh, it's so cute. He did let his kids do a couple videos, and he posted it on his website.
Child.
Yeah. It was so cute. The kid's like, I'm going to make a Sim City. And then he did it on a piece of paper, but Sim means, I don't think he quite understood, but it was cute anyway. And he talked about, but he's a real intelligent young man because he talked about, you know, all the necessary parts of a city, like, you know, like the wastewater treatment plant and things like that. I was like, wow. And zoning. I'm like, you know, zoning? Oh, your daddy's doing a good job.
The CEO of Nestle, which is a Swiss company, said that. Water is not a human right to have.
Oh, is he a humanitarian? He sounds like a humanitarian to me.
Well, it's his prerogative to own the water supplies around the world because then he can sell it out at real expense. They tried to do that in Bolivia, actually, and they kicked the corporations out. It was a revolution over there, and they said, fuck off, we're not paying... loads of money for the water, which is actually belongs to us, the population. Corporations cannot.
I remember that. I remember that story.
They kicked out McDonald's as well.
Good for them.
And Coca-Cola.
Oh, good for them.
The corporations are not welcome here. The Bolivians are actually intelligent people, I think.
And we just leave them alone? Is there like no oil in Bolivia? Or what's going on with that?
No. Venezuela, but not Bolivia.
The Club of Rome
actually has a subdivision in Venezuela. I think that's kind of funny because they are supposedly communist, and Club of Rome is Western and supposed to be the enemy of communist leadership of Venezuela, right? It's all a lot of bullshit, rhetoric, and BS. Logical fallacies are. Did you see that video from... I don't know if you have seen that. I'll try to find it for you. Obama.
Yeah. I don't want to go, well, really, I've not heard that before because I don't want to reveal my ignorance. I don't want to go, you know, I don't agree with you. Like, I know, right? And then not follow
knowledge. Well, ignorance is not a permanent state of affairs. It can be amended.
Can I do the Marcus? Can I do that? Pretend like
no,
I already knew it.
No, please don't. Here it is. Pop up fallacies.
I already knew that.
You have to see this.
Right.
This is how much. magic.
All right, we're waiting for the links to appear. Jan is typing with two fingers. Are you a two-finger typer, Jan?
Yep.
That's, I can see that.
What is it called? The method you use while typing on a keyboard. It's called something.
QWERTY. Isn't it QWERTY?
Hmm? No?
QWERTY?
I'm not sure. But anyways, I had as a at school, but I did not pay any attention. I regret that now, but I hated school, of course.
All right, so right
now, any sensible human should do.
Wow. We're looking at a video, Pop-Up Fallacies 02, The Lies Behind Obama and the Death of Osama Bin Laden. So
yes.
It starts out with, he's going to put words on it, good. So what this guy does is he has pop-ups all over the screen every time Osama says, I said Osama, Obama.
Osama Bin Laden.
I called him Osama. Whoops. Is that on purpose? Come on, people. That's got to be
on purpose. I think so.
I do it all. Teachers do it all the time. I hear story, Jan.
Uh-huh.
You know, when they get to those chapters, they confuse them all the time. We shot Obama in Pakistan.
Sure.
And the student will raise their hand. You mean Osama? Oh, yeah, sorry. No, Obama's
I don't think that's his real name, by the way.
Right. Yeah, that's a fishy thing, how he'd been called Bern. What was his name? Not Bernie. What did everyone used to call him?
It's BS.
Benny or Benji. They called him something, but it wasn't, you know, what they're calling him now. So anyway,
I just call him a house slave.
Oh, you can call him that, but I can't. You can say that, but I will not be saying that. I'm just letting
you know. It's not a field slave. It's a house slave. It's a slave with more privileges.
Oh, no, I'm not going to say that, but you can say it because you're in Norway. Okay.
Well, the Norwegian Prime Minister is one as well. I'm going to give a fuck.
Well, there you go. Okay. I'm still not saying it, but...
We are living under the presumption of free speech, right?
Yeah.
There's no thought police yet.
Oh, yes, there is. you don't even know.
Not on the surface, though.
No, right. It's psychological.
Yeah.
So this video, as Osama... I did it again. Oh, my goodness. As Obama is talking, these little pop-ups come up.
Obama Bin Laden.
Yeah. Like neglected aspect, ad hominem, questionable cause. So as Obama talks, then... Every sentence he says, it tells why it's an actual logical fallacy. I mean, actual... Like,
exactly.
If you take a logic class, then there's actually names for these of what exactly he's doing.
Yeah, I think it's a list of over 200 different fallacies, I think.
Wow, you know, once in a while I teach logic because it's part of the math curriculum. I wonder if I could play this in class. What do you think?
I think you get fired on this.
You know what?
Into the principal office you go.
Yeah.
You're out of here. You disobedient serf.
Right. But, oh, yeah, who's ever doing this?
How dare
video?
You?
Oh,
teacher,
yeah.
Pupil logic.
Trouble, yeah. But, yeah, this is complicated stuff. This is like college
not
logic.
Really.
Well, yeah.
At least they send their kids to prep school, and they drill them on logic from like the age of 7 or 8 or something.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So this, Pop-Up Fallacies 02 is from Gnostic Media.
Yeah.
And he says, I'm happy to announce the release of the latest Pop-Up Fallacies video. This one is Obama's May 1st, 2011 speech on the death of Osama bin Laden with an average LPM or lies per minute. Hey, I like your label. Rating of 9.5. Have a laugh.
Actually, it's higher because... Mr. Jan Irvin just doesn't promote media fakery, so I would add maybe 20 or 30 fallacies on top of what he has put in the video.
Oh, it's not just the logic. Then he finishes, have a laugh as Obama fires his fallacies like rubber bullets from a Tommy gun. That's fun. Yeah, Gnostic Media, I've read a lot of stuff from them. And I love going down and reading the comments that people make about the video from some guy. Who is this guy and how can he sleep at night? Oh, that's a good job, Shill. Good job. The pop-up sound effect and the intro are mixed too loud compared to the source material. Yeah, yeah, but it's still good. I like that. Funny, but too much. Oh, you know what? The guy from Gnostic Media actually responds to people who making posts on his video. That's really cool when people do that. I really like that. You know, the guy who made the video just to like chat with you a little bit.
It seems like a sincere guy, but I'm not sure of him though.
Yeah.
He might be for real.
Oh, let's go look at who he is. So if this is called Spot the Chill, and the cool thing is that just when I was thinking about it, Ab made a post on it. I was like, no way. I had just been thinking about, you know, when you look at YouTube videos and who's this guy, you know, like a horrible Sandy Hook video that supports the kids died, right? Or a guy posting videos like that. You go and look, see who he is, and he's only been on the internet for 2 days or something. You're like, wait, what? He's a chill then. Like, all of a sudden, and then he never posts anymore after that. He's like, done. Yeah, Gnostic Media has a say how long he's been on the internets.
10 years, I think.
It's 2006, August, he joined. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, 8 years. By two then.
But, you know, he could have had other, you know, been online, but just this particular YouTube account. Oh, he does everything. Bitcoin, stuff on science, psychedelics, but everything.
Yeah, he has some good stuff, but I don't trust the guy completely. But and that does not take away the stuff he gives out. I think you have
yeah,
to
well,
pick and choose.
That's like another kind of shield thing is how much stuff do they put out? How much?
I think the important thing to look out for is what they not talk about, not what they do talk about. But
right, that's important too.
The good stuff they talk about does not take away that part could be good information, though.
It could be.
You cannot eliminate everything because they are controlled opposition. I don't think so. That's my drift.
It's, yeah. Deep. Too deep.
I think the controlled opposition has a list of these things you cannot talk about. And
what about the guys who produce like 3 videos a week? Do you believe? Do you believe? And they do a post every single day. And they do, you know, they have also maybe a website they do stuff on.
They are intelligence assets, 100% for sure.
Right? Isn't that a lot of work?
I think USA has like 9 intelligence, different intelligence.
Because I've been thinking about
it's
it.
It's not just the CIA and the FBI and NSA. It's like 7 or 8 more.
Okay. Oh, I'm so glad you brought that up. Because Vidir and I were talking about shills. And we were like, why would we assume all the shills are from one side? I mean, couldn't you have, think of this. Walk with me through this for a minute. A shill from, say, the CIA, and a shill from, say, a European rich family, right?
Well, the rich families like, of Europe own Europe.
So you're saying
own
they own the CIA?
Plantation or colony, or what you want to call it.
Okay, well, say then someone who works for a European government, right?
Yes.
And they end up on the same forum. Won't they quickly find out that each other's a shill? Won't they learn that about each other?
I think they would recognize the traits of the other shills. And yeah, but I do also think that it's coordinated by the higher ups as very
well. Are you sure the Chinese
synchronized thing?
Chinese government's going to check in with the CIA? I don't think so. Does it make sense?
Because
they're self-absorbed. The Chinese are only doing what's good for China. They don't care about the rest of the world. And I think
I have to totally disagree with you on that one.
Drop some knowledge on me, Jan. Why?
Huh?
Why?
Because there are no countries anymore. They're all run by the same people.
And so you're saying they're all coordinated? Possibly.
Oh yes, 100%.
So just
like
let's do the shills.
Huh?
Let's just do the shills.
Yes.
Okay, like say a shill from a couple different organizations or they meet on a website. Right? How does that structure look? who coordinate their efforts?
That's done by the higher up. It's everything is coordinated between all the countries.
Like Wing Chang,
alleged countries.
Yeah, it's like, hey, we got this.
It's one intelligence community, the KGB and the Israeli one and the Norwegian and the United States one and the English. They are all one unit, just on different labels.
Are you saying if a Chinese guy wanted to know what's going on in America, he knows already everything?
Oh yes.
Really?
On the upper levels.
Up a little more.
It's all coordinated by the sovereign military of mortalness, mom.
So you got the little group at the top just kind of dealing out orders,
yes,
kind of filter down to the big people. And then at a certain point, as they filter down, nobody knows really where they came from, would you imagine?
Yeah. Let's say it's 10 levels. Maybe the two top levels know that everything is just one system. But the people below that actually think they are enemies of the other so-called countries, which actually are bankrupt corporations.
Under
the BIS.
Wow.
The whole world went bankrupt in 1929.
All right, let's back up a minute.
Uh-huh.
10 layers.
For example.
You think, that, for example, but you know, it's about around there.
Uh-huh. I would guess it's more, but that doesn't matter. It's not.
Right. But I mean, just think of that idea that the guys at the top completely know everything, whatever group they are, right?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
So Chinese are in there, probably not the Africans, the Europeans, at least. Is that
what
you're thinking?
Everybody's under the IMF, so there's no
countries
anymore.
Without knowledge. You know, I mean, according to their knowledge that they know, they think there's countries.
Yeah,
right?
It's just an idea. It's just fiction, countries in other ways.
Right.
Not a real tangible thing.
Yeah, they got to pump that up pretty big.
Oh, yeah.
So then, but there still could be then the two shills on the website, and maybe they're level 8 or 9 on the list, so they probably won't know each other is working for the same group.
Oh, yes.
I don't think they would know. I think things are a lot more segmented. Do you see what I'm saying? Maybe they don't know. They're not privy.
It's very compartmentalized, and everything is on a to-do-know basis only.
Right.
So
I mean, it's just
not so hard to understand it, really.
Right? And it's just a piece of shit chill. No one tells them anything.
Exactly. Follow orders, or you get sacked, and you are out on the street and cannot afford to feed your family. Be obedient, sir.
Right. Oh, we're using that word again. Adhesion. They are under adhesion contracts.
Yeah, we all are.
There you go. Hey, we're coming full circle here.
Everything is connected in this world. It's a holistic system. Everything is incorporated into the system. It's quite hard for people to understand this because they are under the impression that that the governments are incompetent, which they are not. They are in the opposite end of the scale. They are very competent on what they're doing.
Well, I think governments are made to be exactly what they are. I don't think it's an accident, right?
No. Sort of
made a bad government. Oh, no. You worked really hard to get it that way.
Well, people are under the illusion that the government is there to help you. They are there to control you and keep you in line. That's the only function they have. They don't give a fuck about you or me. They never did.
I like taking people to court who rob me of my money. That's kind of
the court
cool.
system is run by the same people, so the corrupt system as well. So
I recently won a court thing. Took a guy to small claims court, and I won. I'm so happy.
Small claims court is the only court that is actually a real court. The rest is administrative. Yeah.
Right, exactly. That's it. That's all I need. Just that, small claims. Everything else does not exist. But now he has 30 days.
You can take a look at this web, but then you're going to look into the upper echelon of the system. Based. You can see all the politicians giving their submission to the real bosses.
So we've got we're back at our shills now, the two shills on a website or anywhere, you know, any forum. I know like Clues Forum had some, you had to get them.
Infiltration.
And, right, exactly. And then I know Let's Roll Forum was having some problems and basically everyone. Do you know a super popular website or forum that hasn't had a shill problem ever?
Nope.
There one.
If you go by the Blue Moon's information that there are 6 million intelligence assets in the United States, they have a lot of people to pick from.
Blue Moon. Ooh, you got a website?
I think App has the link.
Blue Moon? Wow.
That's plausible.
Yeah, you think those are part-time jobs? Because it's like...
No, maybe full-time jobs. The people who full-time? Run the system own the printing press of the money, so money is no object.
That's kind of like work from home. Make $15 an hour working from home. You know, those ads, we have them all the time.
Yeah, you have to protect your country.
Yeah, a lot of it is phone calling and saying, you know, a horrid thing to do. I've done it for a campaign once, a couple times, and for other things, I hate doing it. Horrid. Hello? What? You what? Hello? What? What? Hello? I'm like, oh my God. Not gonna work.
This picture says more than 1,000 words. Take a look. It's the servant. All right. Who is the boss on this picture. Look.
All right. Are you popping? Why is that not error in the establishing chat.
Did you see it, Obama?
Hey, what does error establishing a database connection mean?
Exactly what it said. Cannot cannot open the page.
No, I can't.
Uh huh.
Ah.
That's interesting.
Downloaded something. I should look at my programs. Go ahead, talk about something. Let's see, because it's freezing my stuff up. Okay, what's that website you just clicked on?
Errors. Uh-huh. Okay. They don't like me showing this.
Oh, see? You're having a problem, too. They're on to us.
They're listening in.
They're on to us. Yeah, and what are we going to do now?
Don't worry about it.
All right, I'm going to... I can't click on anything now.
No.
Okay.
Indian slaves at the NSA are watching everything we're saying, so they love their servitude, so that's it.
Right. Okay, let's go back to the shill idea.
Yeah.
So, they congregate on websites and to disrupt, right?
Yes, distraction. Obfuscation.
Obfuscate. Yeah, obfuscate. Oh, I'm sounding like I can't talk. Obfuscate. Well, yeah. Obfuscate. So they're most likely paid of what type of structure? Nobody really knows because no one has come forward.
The intelligence community has a lot of money, and it's all a budget, so you
can't access there. Wouldn't you imagine they contract out? Why not? Everybody else contracts out. Why wouldn't they?
Of course they do.
Of course they contract out. I mean, even our most secure divisions in the government contract out other people to do just as secure, top secret work. So why?
Here you have the European company, which is called, I don't remember now. They had the security at the Olympics in London. G4S. They're huge. Yeah.
Wouldn't you imagine like where an actual shill would come from? I know it's the intelligence community, but wouldn't it be the army? Because aren't they engaging?
Well, that's the one and same, really. Intelligence and
aren't
part of the military.
Aren't you completely the same?
Oh, yeah.
They all share all the information? Okay, let's take it to the military. Because wouldn't you have, like, I couldn't imagine just a guy in a building. Hey, Bob, by the way, when you're shilling today, you know, kind of push nuclear. Okay, go out, have a great day, push nuclear. All right, thanks. I mean, I can't imagine, like, every day you not know, you know. I would think you would have to be well-versed in psychology, you know, well-versed in sociology, like how people gather, things like that.
Yeah.
So, to me, it seems more than just intelligence. Doesn't it feel more than just plain intelligence? I mean, not only are they gathering information, which to me feels like intelligence, but they're going out and doing things, which feels militaristic.
That is counterintelligence. In other words, lie.
Right. So counterintelligence is the physical thing you do?
Yeah, you lie to people to keep them confused and under control, right?
Right. So
that's a defensive measure.
So with a massive amount of shilling going on, wouldn't you say we need, like, an army to do counterintelligence?
Well, Obama said he wanted an army of civilians to serve under him. So there we have it.
I mean, if you just have one shill a website, That's a ton of people. Oh my God. How many websites do you have on alternate things? In fact, it's every website. I mean, if you go to latimes.com, there's shills on there. Mm. Following people around and, you know,
well, if you
sure
have 6 million employees under your power, it's not a problem to actually achieve that goal, I think.
Would you be like one full-time Army PSYOP guy? It's like 20 caseload. Maybe he's got a caseload or something. You just say 10 websites a day he's got to go. You can do 20 if you're a human.
Well, they have multiple sock puppet accounts.
Right?
Software for it.
Right. Oh, yeah. They have all the software.
I have to go for
a
minute. Go for a minute. I'll come back.
Okay. So what I'm trying to do is just kind of, what would that look like in real life? We talk about it, but we never pin down how it actually works or why it makes sense. Like a shill is like a fairy comes in and out. No one really knows what's going on. He lives in another dimension. No, it's just a guy who's got a job. So what I'm trying to do is kind of put together a picture in my brain of what that would look like. So I'd imagine he's given a script. Probably you don't have time to have everyone be super educated and trained. I would imagine, though, maybe a good 2-day seminar on how to berate people would be worth its weight in gold. Or maybe, you know, a 2-day seminar on how to take people's worst fears and use it against them or something like that. That would probably do it. And they have their usual training, you know, here's what we're supporting, here's what I want you to do. But I would imagine it's segmented, compartmentalized, like one group really doesn't know what the other group's doing. And they probably don't know the whole picture, like the whole big picture. You probably have PSYOP specialists who start things going, start those websites, and they fade out, and then those old PSYOPs become part of the rotation. What an odd thing. Leon?
Yes?
Oh, hello. Yeah, I was just finishing up my thoughts on how a shill would actually operate. Would he work from home? Is that an option? You know, okay, you have to be at work 4 days a week.
I think it's quite easy to understand. They love being under authority, so they think they're doing a good thing to protect the country and the national security. So I don't think they are as such, but that they're duped into doing what they're doing, I think.
I think, right? I would think for like psychology, right? Even the guys training the guys to do psychology. I think there's basic human
traits
that it's hard to go against. So they got to give you that noble lie. You know, as Ab says, it's the noble lie because, well, not like that. He doesn't go, it's a noble lie. He goes, it's a noble lie, eh? That's how Ab says it. But
this is from 1984.
You want to drop all those in the chat?
Masses, the lower class, or proletariat. Proles are given freedom of thought because they don't think. Party member is not allowed. Slightest deviation of thought. No private emotions. They are allowed to hate foreigners and traitors and love and fear Big Brother. But that's it. Elaborate mental training to ensure this. In childhood and can be summarized in the concept of doublethink. This is one of the behind the slogan ignorant strength.
All right, and what's the meaning of this? What are we looking at? The title of this story?
This is a quote from George Orwell's 1984 book called Oligarchical Collectivism, Emmanuel Goldstein's book.
Oligarchical Collectivism?
Yes.
Yeah, I hope everyone out there is realizing the foreigner can speak better English than me. I hope you realize that.
My English sucks.
Well, not on that little phrase you just said. So you're saying this is given freedom of thought. It's like the how-to for PSYOPs. Is that what you just read?
How to control the masses.
Okay, so it's how to control the masses. So
and
I'm going to read it.
Managerial class is under much more control than we are.
Right, so
just saying.
Right, so I'm going to read this one more time.
You can please.
So for the people listening, imagine it's you. Imagine yes. this isn't another place. Imagine this is you and happening to you right now. Does that make sense?
So, oh, yeah. We live under right? this system now.
So think about what I'm going to read and then put yourself in it right now. And is this what you're experiencing? So it says, the masses, the lower class, or proletariat alone, are given freedom of thought because they don't think. A party member is not allowed the slightest deviation of thought and no private emotions. They are allowed to hate foreigners and traitors and love and fear Big Brother. But that is it. There is an elaborate mental training to ensure this, which begins in childhood and can summarize the concept of doublethink. This is one of the meanings behind the slogan, ignorance is strength. That slogan's a little obvious, I don't think. Can we give a modern day, a real life example of doublethink?
Doublethink is the ability to have two conflicting logical conclusions in the mind at the same time and believing in both of them.
Right, like there's a couple sayings.
War is peace.
Right, war is peace. Or opposites. There's another one like intelligent design. No, that wasn't it, but it was something like that. Not that. A few of them out there. Wow, we both putting that in the shit. My computer's back up working again. I can get on the internet.
Uh-huh.
Oh, I still haven't seen my mouse dance around the screen on its own yet, so I think we're good. Once my uh-huh. mouse starts moving by itself, I'll be like, they're here. They're on
it's
to
a
me.
Good sign, though.
Run, they're on to me. No.
Not at the point yet, I think.
Oh, no, because clearly they got the system handled. They got the shield going, right? Yeah, they got it. They don't have to worry about individual people.
No, people don't think, so don't worry about it. That's what the CIA director said in the 70s. Don't worry about it. People don't think.
Well, you're right. They don't.
Nothing is true unless it's on TV and etc.
Right. There are enough people who are fine with the story that they just need to control the herd. That's yes. Just control the herd. Everything else is fine.
Sure. We are no threat to the system.
Although we're easier to see because we're on the outside of the herd.
Yeah, we are disobedient serfs. Right.
DS is. I'm a DS, a disobedient
serf. Don't you dare. Wasn't that what Clinton said when somebody was talking about 9/11? Don't you dare.
I love what Ab has done about like that 9/11 thing. That anytime you hear someone has, you know, was there, he's like, come on, talk. Come on. I think that is the one thing that is probably one of the most powerful things he has ever done.
Yeah.
Because so far, there's nobody nope. that's trustworthy. So you got to take all the media people out of the equation. You can't count on them, but just regular people. All right, who is it? Tell me. That's huge. That's ginormous. Yeah. That should be proof enough. That's it. Lack of proof should be proof.
Telltale, I think, is a...
Telltale is telltale absence of proof. Going back to Ab's site, ologist.com.
Please do.
The above post on, so still talking about September 11th, it was the Foxed Out one with Michael J. Fox, how he's faking Parkinson's.
Of course he is.
Oh, I can't believe it. That blew me away.
It didn't surprise me one second, actually.
You know what? My uncle had Parkinson's, all right? Yes. I watched him shake forever, and every time I saw Michael J. Fox, I says to myself, well, that shaking looks downright silly. Does he have a different kind of Parkinson's? It didn't even occur to me.
It's like, a fictional is this, one.
Right?
Not is like his, a real disease.
I thought, is his spine made of rubber? Because my uncle, his muscles were spasmodic all the way through his body.
It's a neurological disease.
His spine stayed pretty much straight up and down. But if you look at Michael J. Fox, his spine swerves all around and swivels and it just goes everywhere. So I'm like, he does not have... This didn't make so much sense. That was so funny because I could never, as Lennon Honor says, I couldn't put that baby to rest because it kept bothering me. It wasn't right. His Parkinson's did not look like the Parkinson's I knew.
You should watch this movie. Then you understand the background of actors when they go to boarding schools with the real rich, powerful people, and why they are so obedient.
Does it get a little naughty? Sounds like it might get a little naughty.
You give you a lot of money if you are obedient. If not, we crush you.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's not easy to control these people. They are narcissistic as well, so.
The
attention from the herd.
Oh, isn't that brilliant to make ego, actors? Right, isn't that a brilliant thing to do? Think about it.
Yeah.
So you have a society, and it's naturally going to have egotistical people, without a doubt.
Yeah, sure. It's a minority, though, like 3-4% which are born that way.
Right. But you know what? They're troublesome because they're egotistical and they like power, but we
true,
want to channel
oligarchy
it.
To apply in their system of control, I think.
Right? So they're like, wait, we don't want you rising up and taking control and taking my control away, so we'll give you fake control, right? We'll give you all the fame you want that you think being in control means, and all that power you think, you know, what you think power means, and we'll give it to you, and then you're taken care of. You're good to go. You're not upsetting the masses. Your thirst for attention is satisfied. So just get over there, be happy with your little self, and leave us rich folk alone. Wow, I never thought of that before, that actors...
Well, you're not trained to think properly, so learning process.
Actors are for a special personality type in society.
Act whores, I call them. They're act whoring for whore. Their...
act whore. You're just an act whore.
Exactly.
That's it.
They're selling themselves to the...
Michael J. Fox, you're an act whore. Just let you know.
No doubt about it.
It's true.
And he's Canadian as well. Quite interesting to me that many Canadian actors are used in Hollywood.
Yeah. What's up with that, Ab?
That's because we listen to our government. We are obedient. We will obey. We will obey.
Yes.
How are you? That's interesting you said that.
Good show so far, guys.
Thank you.
Good. Thank you.
I'm just rambling on here.
I'm very upset about
the other people to call in because I get tired of hearing my own voice. Not like Marcus. I don't enjoy my own voice. Boring to me.
Well, that's good. Well, anyone, there's lots of people listening on the stream tonight. If you go to
SCFake.com. You're all welcome to try to go and talk to the lunatic from Norway, Oslo.
Well, anyone here can go to audio.fakeologist.com and talk to Kay Ham and talk to Jay Han or John Eric. come on, join us.
Jay Han. It's good. Well, we've lost Ab for just a bit, right on the edge of a joke. That's a little bit awkward.
He's on his smartphone, so-called.
So K-Ham and J-Han. Funny.
Oh, I'm back. Sorry. This one looks pretty damning to me.
Uh-huh.
Something looks... What did he say?
I must have got cut off. Damning. This Michael J. Fox. I don't know. I got cut off there for a minute.
Oh. It's horrible. I'm telling you. Now that it's pointed out, he's clearly faking. Because when my uncle had Parkinson's, he shook, he tremored, his entire body tremored. It didn't wiggle.
It's an awful disease, and you die of it.
Right.
Don't you think, so it's okay, are you suspicious that Michael J. Fox does not have it?
Yeah, I...
Because
I,
of
yeah.
your experience?
Exactly.
And isn't the other thing, because it's so hard to stop trembling, it just wears you out. You cannot be shaking 24 hours or most of your waking hours because it literally exhausts the body, right? There's no break time.
I bet.
I think the disease is fatal. You die of it eventually.
Or he should be, my
uncle. Because the nervous system is poisoned and nothing is functioning as it's supposed to do. So
try to do it.
Right.
Look in the mirror and try to do the Michael J. Fox Parkinson's wiggle. I mean, try it. You just, my God, it's hard. I'm getting tired.
But maybe his cover story is like Magic Johnson, because he's rich and famous, he has access to all the best treatments, and maybe that's what's keeping him going. A lot of people have said that to me when I told them about this video.
Well, okay, that's true. Maybe.
No, but he's such a nice guy. He would never do that to us. Come on now.
But you know what? I don't think he's faking the tremors, though. Maybe for the screen, but, I mean, if you do that, I'm sitting here right now, and I'm moving like Michael J. Fox. I'm already tired, and it's only been 30 seconds.
Michael
How can he
A.
do
Fox.
It for an hour-long interview? I'm exhausted. I'm moving. I'm tired. Try it. And even do it for a minute. I'm tired.
If your masters pay you a 7 or 8 figure amount each year, you can do anything. I would guarantee it.
Like, that's his workout? I mean,
yeah, sure.
When he's home, he got to shake a lot so that he can do it in public. Get my shake muscles going.
So let's talk about the ethics of this. Is this a noble lie? Is it a worthwhile cause? Is it possible he could have raised those big dollars? I'm just asking you guys, what is your moral and ethical view of this? Is it a good thing? Because he probably has raised, logically, a pile of money that otherwise would not have been raised.
Uh-huh.
No, there's no noble lie. I don't believe in that. Because where did the money go anyway? So what if the money goes, 3% of all you give to charity ends up helping people?
Exactly. Charity's a scam.
It's useless money anyway. It's not getting to where it needs to go anyway. But I can see how you could convince Michael J. Fox to do so, because he's an actor and he's an act whore.
Yes. He's submissive to his masters. More than us, I think.
Yeah.
People don't get that. They think that actors and prostitutes and stuff are more freedom than we do. No, it's the other way around. They're more controlled, I think.
Yes, I've heard that before. People that are plugged right into the system that are doing as they're told, they are really stressed. They're really in shackles.
Yeah, they get a good monetary compensation, but the price they have to pay is not applying their free will, which they are born with.
Oh, so then we can say, you hear that, shills? Yo, the real slave, bitch.
Oh, yeah. The most obedient ones. We are disobedient slaves, and they are on the other end of the scale, right?
Right? They're the real slaves. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Is there any way out? Is there any way out for them, by the way, Jan, do you think? Is there any way out for them if they change minds?
They are too materialistic and too narcissistic to have a way out, I think.
Do you think any of them actually want to get out when they find out what they're doing? And
nah.
Do you think anybody?
I think they have a psychological test on these people and find out exactly what the psychological profile is. And I don't think that's a problem for the system, really.
So they never get promoted if they don't have that defect, that psychopathy.
Yeah, exactly.
I love that. They don't get promoted if they don't have that psychological defect.
Yeah, that's psychopathy.
That's freaking beautiful.
Is that the quote of the night?
Yeah, quote of the night.
might be.
Ding, 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 ding.
Clip of the day.
That's right.
Don't have my sound effects on me.
My glass ding, is ding, plastic, ding. So I can't, link it anywhere.
Ding, ding, ding. Yeah, it's got full of bisphenol A. Bisphenol A.
I use it once and throw it out, so it leaches super fast. So I'm getting all of it all at once. It's a rush.
I think it's it's BPA in the clothing we are wearing as well, because they put plastic in the clothing now. Hard to find anything that which is 100% cotton or wool. It's always 2 or 5% some synthetic plastic.
Yawn.
Bullshit.
Yeah, not...
Don't tell a woman this. What are you telling me this for? Do you want me to go out and buy hemp clothing? Why are you telling me this?
No, you can buy it. You can buy your clothing
where
the rich people. rich people don't buy shit like that.
I got several $1,000 of clothes in my closet. I have paid $700 at a cabbie party.
I think they go to tailors. No, I think they go to a tailor and pick out the cloth that is pure.
What do rich people wear? They wear silk. Silk must be good still.
Silk, yeah,
good?
Silk or cotton wool without 2 or 5% of.
Well, where do they get it from? What store? Because maybe I can shop there. Where do they get it that I can't?
Tailors?
They just tailor. They just pay them. They just go, hey.
They go to a tailor and they pick out a cloth which is
they're like,
not
hey,
containing
Vito,
that stuff.
Vito.
And they get tailor-made outfit, of course.
Oh, that's wow. Interesting. Yeah, very good.
In that way. But then where do they buy the material from?
The tailor has it.
He has, oh, it's like the special guy with the not going to get you sick clothing.
Of course.
Wow, really? I never
do
heard
think,
of
yeah,
that.
Do you think the upper echelons wear that shit?
Right. So we're not even
your
talking designer
your skin is breathing
clothes.
And everything you wear on your skin goes through it and into the bloodstream. So, of course, no.
Wow, that's a good
that's
slave
to
tool.
Me.
That's a real good slave tool.
Everything is weaponized in this system. Everything.
Yeah. So, yeah, this is a... Jan Erik just gave a clothing, a fashion tip, but that's actually a solution.
Oh,
a solution.
A solution.
Very good. Very good with
are
that
you
solution.
A solutions man? You're a solutions person. Like I've always said.
All
like
men
always said.
Are supposed to be all about solutions, right? Women
oh
hate taking decisions, so it's a man's job to do that.
Well, this isn't one of those. This isn't one of those suicidal psychologist calls. This is a solutions call. Very good.
Mm. We're all about solutions here. What's because it's KHAM
right.
Radio, Ab. That's what KHAM Radio is all about.
They're competing with the court Jew now. He must be really mad.
Among other things. There's a disclaimer there.
Yeah, very good. Very good. Excellent. Well, that's true. Well, there's just another thing. You should spend more money on fewer clothes, perhaps, and make them good quality, just like your food, right? Eat less food,
yeah.
But make sure it's better.
If you go to a tailor, which makes clothes for the really, not a 1%, but 0.1%, and you would not find anything there with the plastics in it. And it's
wow.
Good stitching and everything, and you can wear that for years, and you don't give a fuck about fashion, which is fashion
right.
Anyways.
Hey, can I, like,
a nice outfit is a nice outfit
yeah.
For 50 years. It's not about fashion.
Right. Is there, like, a solution I could dip my top in to, like, evaporate the plastic?
Nope.
I mean, come on
yeah,
now.
It's called burning it. Yeah, burn it.
I dare you to go to a Dave store and find the clothing without that shit in it.
Oh, are you talking about the stretchy thing, the plastic, the spandex?
No, it's in everything now.
Oh, everything.
You go to H&M or any of the big store.
Does it have
yeah.
a name?
Well, yeah,
what's
nylon.
The name?
No, it's nylon.
Yeah,
oh,
nylon, polyester. All
yes.
The oil, petrochemical-based clothing.
Oh.
Yeah, you got to get real stuff like clothing, like cotton and silk.
100%
and wool.
Not the additional shit in it.
Right.
Yeah.
So you got to look at your labels. Like you do your food, you got to look at your labels also for your clothing.
Exactly.
Sure, I guess, yeah.
There we
yeah.
go.
Not so hard. It's very easy to do.
Yeah. Yeah, my mom only likes cotton. She's like, is it 100%? I'm like, oh, it's a 50-50 blend, Mom. She's like, no, thank you. I'm not going to take it.
Well, see, you got to look to the older people. They know what's good.
They do.
They haven't.
But they are old-fashioned.
They haven't been.
You not listen to them, according to the.
That's
no.
True, yeah. Yeah.
No, they know.
And that's what. That
you're
goes
modern.
Back to Unreal.
Huh?
That goes back to Unreal saying about the inversion. Everything's inverted. Yeah, it's pretty. I liked his comment and his post at forums.fakeologist.com about inversion.
Exactly. Inversion is the principle of Satanism.
Yeah.
You
hey, you guys were
thing good into bad.
Hey, you guys were talking about, I think Jan Erik was quoting 1984, the
yes.
movie in the book, or the book in the movie. Do you guys know, is there more than one movie version of 1984, or is there just one?
I think it's three.
There's three? Okay.
Well,
yeah.
Let me go look at my IMDb app, and I'll tell you. Just give me
yeah.
a minute.
Yeah, because
I think there's one English one in black and white, and one American one, and the one in,
yeah.
in color that came out in 1984, which I saw at the cinema, and I was totally...
Oh, wow, there's like 20 of them. Wait, 19...
Wait,
1984... John Hurt, Richard Burton, Suzanne Hamilton, 1984.
This one in
okay.
English was black and white, one in UK and another one from the States. I think it's three.
Three? So there's one made in 84, one made in 56. Can we count Punjab 1984 with Sonam Bajwa, Arun Bali, and Dajinder Basran?
I don't think so.
Huh. If you could understand it, I guess.
Okay, there's three. Yeah.
Does anyone have a recommendation on which should we go with the 1956 one? Is that more dire and more honest? Does anyone have an opinion there?
I'd say start earliest. I think probably the earliest one is closest to the book, propagandistical wise, you imagine?
Well, I would guess, yeah.
Right. I would imagine any later version, the propaganda is changing a little bit. I don't know.
Okay.
On her, so
black
he's
and white,
a good
DC
actor.
Version, 1956. Who was in 1956? Anybody we might know?
I'm looking at it. Edmund O'Brien, Michael Redgrave, and Sterling.
Michael Redgrave. That must be Vanessa's father, right? Maybe.
Ooh, right. David Kusoff. Donald Pleasance. Everyone knows Donald Pleasance. He plays the snooty police officer or the butler is really good. Carol, Ernest Clark.
Have you seen it, Kay?
I don't know. I watched a lot of black and white movies, so I probably did. I've seen a lot of them.
I tell you, the more we talk about what we talk about, the more I haven't watched any of the movies, and I sort of haven't finished the book, but I think it's required reading these days.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Yeah, in my high school, we had to read it.
It's a blueprint for the society which we live in now, I think.
I just want to apologize to all the smart people out there. I didn't read it because I'm intellectual. I read it because I had to. But it's a good book. Everyone talks about it.
Yeah, I gotta read it again because so much of that material repeats itself. So much comes up in our research.
You need to watch this one as well, Enemy of the People by Henrik Ibsen, which is a Norwegian author.
That's a movie?
This is a theater play.
Okay.
It's a must-watch. Great one.
Can you give me a review, a quick review, what it's about?
It's about a guy with some missions and some empathy and care about stuff and corruption and I don't want to give it away. It's a must watch.
Yeah. What's the title of it?
Enemy of the People.
Okay. And is it English or Norwegian?
No, this is, I think it's in a theater in the United States, I think.
Yeah.
Enemy of the People.
Directed by Paul Bogart, James Daly as Dr. Thomas Stockman.
Is there any sex in it? Can I let my cats watch it, or should I put them out of the room when I watch it?
No, this is just a conversation.
Okay.
It's dialogue, really.
It's dialogue.
One of the drawbacks of fakeology, I think, Kay, is there's almost absolutely no suggestive or sexual anything in what we look at. So it is rather dull in that way.
Right. Yeah, we're going to have to fix that. We're going to have to fix that.
Well, you're the female. You better lay it on thick. Lay on that free voice. Get that vocoder going.
I'm joking. But
yeah.
I couldn't resist.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no. Start that school teacher motif or theme there. Sex it up is an exciting.
Well, you know, you'd be surprised, Ab, if you're in Vegas and you're telling people you're a school teacher, how many drinks it gets you. Apparently people have fantasies. I don't know.
Yeah, there weren't too many fantasies from my point of view as my teacher.
No, right?
Good teachers.
No.
I had to stop saying, what do you do for a living? I'm a teacher. Oh, are you? I had to just go, I don't know, secretary.
I'm a nun.
I should be saying I'm a nun.
Nun on the run.
That's why I'm in Vegas. I'm a nun on the run.
I think you're a monk on the funk.
Yeah.
We'll be together at the disco.
a fakeologist monk study yes. this thing like the scripture.
Oh, wow. So, well, we've been trying to put together what actually, you know, working like as a shill, as a, like a human being, where he works, how it's put together, who gives him orders. I've been trying to wrap my head around that.
Yeah, I think it's military, and I think the old saying, if you can't convince them, confuse them, mm-hmm. is the way, that's the way it goes, that's the way it's done. I think there's enough confusion that most people back away and withdraw, it's too much.
Right.
Yeah, we live in a society now of information overload, and then you get maximum yeah. confusion, so it's perfect for them.
Okay, but yeah. think about this, okay? You got a guy at a computer. He's the shill right there. His fingers are on the keyboard. Your fingers are on the keyboard. You're like electrically connected, right? Mm-hmm. So now follow electricity back. Follow him back to the guy on the keyboard, right? He's sitting there. Where is he sitting?
He's in an office.
Yeah, cubicle. And yeah, exactly. A cubicle in the army base. PsyOps, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
So he's sitting in the office. So that's it. I guess that's the big question, right? He just comes into work. So
yeah.
Jan and I were talking.
But he's there to pick from any, I mean, it's from without and within, or what it is.
Right? So
yeah.
he probably has like 20 websites to monitor or whatever.
Maybe, yeah.
You would imagine
anytime,
they would, right? Like whatever
gets
the hits.
Something starts, yeah, and anytime something gets too close to the truth, they start muddying it up, and then it becomes a big mess. And it's a big, and how can someone like me or my site compete with a full-time job, somebody working to disrupt it? It's pretty difficult. Pretty impossible.
Right. Right. If you have a job, yeah, and they have, who knows?
If you are under an adhesive contract.
They could put 2-3 people on it. You know, Vidir and I were talking, like, some people, how they talk is not at all like they write. But, it could be their training. It could be, you know, how they were taught in school to write, that don't use your voice. You know, it could be that. Because students are, you know, they're kind of taught not to use their voice. It's a bad thing. Meaning to put their personality into the words. That's,
yeah.
So it could be that. I don't know. I mean, Ab, you write like you talk, a little more formal, but.
Yeah, I think so. I write very briefly because I don't have time to sit down and really chew it. I put really, sometimes I get.
Yeah, I'm dropping off a bit there.
Frisky, and I have to spend time quick links. That's the way I do it. I don't have time for essays. Did that come through?
Yeah, I don't have time for essays. Everything else didn't matter, apparently. Whatever you just said didn't matter. I have time.
Yeah, most of my stuff is just quick links. I don't have time for essays, so that's why I like these audios. Sometimes I can just record stuff or talk to people. I think it adds enough of a dimension so you know who I am.
Would you consider my post essays or just writing?
Do I consider whose?
My posts that I make sometimes on your site that I like very much.
Well, are they more than a pair?
I don't know. You use the term essay, so I'm quantifying your term.
More than a couple sentences to me is more of an essay. I don't really ever write more than a couple sentences or a few. Every now and then I write a few paragraphs, but yeah, you've done quite a few things, actually. People should look up your name on my website. Yeah, you do quite a few things. I agree. It's sometimes hard to remember who does what because I sort of see everything quickly.
Right.
But you do some great posts, for sure.
Yeah. People thought I was a guy. So as they read a bunch of my stuff, they're thinking, male. This must be a male.
Well, it's just more because statistically, there's more people that are men. That's nothing about your writing style.
You think?
Chances are you're a man. Just statistically, there's not a lot of females.
So
very
I did not.
You are writing.
Right. So I did not betray my gender in my writing.
No, not really, because nobody gets too personal in their writing, so it's not really important anyway. I don't think so.
Well, I don't know. I think I can read stuff from a woman. Can't you? Oh, I could be like, a chick wrote this. honey, come here. A chick wrote this. Read this.
Well, I don't. There's really nothing out there. I rarely see stuff. There's really nothing out there to compare it to. You're one of the very, very few.
Okay.
So perhaps audio chat is better for females because maybe they like to talk more than they do like to write. So that's really why I've added this mention.
Unfortunately for you, Ab, I like to do both equally as well. So I'm
no, that's
sorry
fortunate.
About that.
I think you're a great talker. No, you're a great talker and you're a great writer. I think if I could use some NLP on Jan, I think Jan would agree with that.
What?
That yes, Kay is a good speaker and a good writer.
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, well, thank you. And thank you, Jan, for making him say it twice. I appreciate that. I'll send you $20 later like we promised.
Ding, ding, ding.
Yeah, there you go. Ka-ching, ka-ching. And that's why I hope you come back every Thursday and say something. Even if you just read my blog or read your comments. You should highlight your own comments on my blog or wherever else you write as well. That would be smart.
Right, just to do that. Yeah.
Go through your own comments because obviously you know your own comments better than anybody else. So you should expound and expand.
Elaborate on them.
Or just digest them for the audio crowd. Because don't forget, so many people do not get to the site every day and not keep up. There's just too much,
right.
Like Jan said. So yeah, highlight your own stuff. You write good stuff. Let's bring it to life a little bit and...
Well, thank
that'll be
you.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
You just
That's
did
a great
that.
Great idea. Double dipping.
Oh, you'd fill an hour up quickly.
I'll be double dipping. Yeah. So, yeah.
Come on anytime. Like I've told people before, you make a post and make an audio version of it real quick. Just come on, 5 minutes, go off. That kind of thing. This is a show, of course, that you're doing, but. During the week, anyone, just come on, you make a post and make an audio deposit version of the same post and let people hear what you have to say. I know I listen.
Cool.
I listen to audio chat all the time.
Oh.
Well, yeah, an audio blog version of your, or an audio comment. Yeah.
Kind of like audio deposit because you're like, you know, putting it in the bank there, right? In the memory banks. Kind of like that.
It's out there. It's out there and it gets disseminated. It gets... This is the wave of the future, this delivery system of content. So,
and I know a lot more people listening to audio than I ever would have imagined. They're just like, they're tired of radio, the stupid songs playing over and over and over again.
Oh, this is the best audio because this is amateur audio. I love this stuff. I love amateur people, amateur radio.
Unfiltered and real, Tim.
Yeah, I like it. I can listen to it all day long.
Quite rare.
Not too much of it, but I really like, I like disparate voices, though. I really like, I'd like a million voices. It's more interesting. So, you got any friends? Put them on.
Oh, come on down. You the next contestant on Fakeology.com.
Yeah, put them on. Seriously. Anyone can get this software. It's not hard to install, despite some people's difficulties. So, definitely keep it coming. And Jan, come on and... Do something, maybe a little brief show for sure. This is what would be great.
Well, excellent. On that note, I think
I'm
going
to cut out.
Yeah, let's cut it out. Let's.
I'm going to cut out. Yeah, we got to cut it off at a reasonable time because
there you go.
You got the hardcores that'll listen for 6 hours, but I think cut it off at 90 minutes at the most, and then and then come back.
We've been going now.
I think you've been going a couple hours, but that's fine.
It doesn't even feel like it. I can see how Chris does it. Just keep talking.
Leave them wanting
more. Yeah, I used to be
on
for 5 hours. It was no problem whatsoever.
Well, I like this show.
Yeah,
he was great. Yeah, always leave them wanting more, as somebody
there
said, right?
Go. Exactly. So that's great.
So I'll let you sign off. I'll sign off first. And nice talking to y'all.
All right. Thank you, Ab. Nice talking to you.
All right. Good night.
Yes.
Hey, Jan, you want to just finish talking in the lobby or you want to stay in the live stream after this?
We can go to the lobby if you want to.
Okay. Yeah, for a little bit. Maybe someone would like to join us. Maybe Chris, perhaps.
Maybe people are shy to talk on air on the stream, maybe. I'm not sure.
Yeah. Let's go to the lobby. And Chris from Oklahoma, I love your stuff. I would love to chat with you in the lobby.
Me too. Think as of, well.
So, yeah. Oh, excellent. So we're going to be in the lobby. So I'll meet you there. Okay, Jan?
We're checking out and we're moving our shit to the other room.
I got to pick up my blanket and my coffee and go to the other room.
Yes. See you there.
Okay. Okay, see you there. It's, so thank you, everybody, for listening in to KHAM Radio at fakeologist.com, and the date is 8/21/2014.
Yes.
And also, I would like to thank Jan Erik for being my guest today. Jan Erik, thank you so much for coming on.
It has
on.
Been an honor, and I'm thankful for being invited. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. And thank you, Ab, also for joining us. So take care and good night.
Yes. Bye-bye, everybody.
Hi, this is Errol C., and you're listening to Fakeologist Radio.